from Matthew's Gospel, and it's chapter 27, from verses 57 to 61, and Freddie is going to come and help us with that reading.
As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb.
Thank you, Freddie. So that passage in Matthew's Gospel tells us what happened immediately after Jesus died on the cross. That Jesus' body was taken down from the cross, it was wrapped in cloths and placed in a tomb that was cut out of rock. And a large stone was rolled in front of the entrance of the tomb. That was a common practice back then, but it was a practice that was normally reserved for people who could afford it. But this person, Joseph, that's mentioned there, owned this tomb. He had paid for it for himself, and yet he gave that tomb to Jesus. So Jesus was placed inside this tomb in the rock, and a stone was rolled in front of the entrance of the tomb. And we read there about two women who saw all of this happen. We read that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. So this morning we're going to think about the Easter story through the eyes of one of those ladies, through the eyes of Mary Magdalene. So Mary Magdalene had been part of the group of people that had followed Jesus and had seen lots of the things that he had done and had believed in him. She had travelled around with him. She probably first met Jesus up in the north in Galilee, and Jesus had completely changed her life. Before she had met Jesus, she was in a terrible state, but Jesus had saved her from that. And from then on, Mary followed Jesus everywhere. Jesus had been her friend, her teacher, and her Lord. And she had heard the wonderful things that Jesus had taught, which had given her hope. She had seen Jesus perform miracles. She had placed all of her hope, in fact, in him. But then, Mary Magdalene was there when Jesus was crucified and had seen him suffering terribly. It's one of the worst experiences in life, isn't it? To see someone you love suffering and not being able to do anything to help them. And Mary had been watching. She had been there when Jesus died on the cross. And we read in that passage that she was there when he was buried. She was sitting opposite watching this happen. Just try to imagine her thoughts and feelings. And she watched his body being placed into the tomb and the stone being rolled over the entrance. She must have been devastated. It must have seemed like the end of the story, the end of Jesus' story. It must have seemed like, despite all his miracles, despite all his wonderful words, in the end, death had the final word. And sometimes our lives can be a bit like that, that with problems we face, difficulties we face in life, and then when we lose loved ones and we face our own mortality, it seems like despite all the hopes and dreams we have in life, death is the end and those hopes and dreams come to nothing. Well, that was Mary at that moment. However, the story wasn't over. We're now going to hear the next part of the Easter story, and Ben is going to come and help us with that. We're going to read from Luke chapter 24, from verses 1 to 12.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, for when they entered, they did not find the body of Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all of these things to Elvin and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Jonah, Mary, the mother of James, and the others who told them this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strip linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering what had happened.
Thank you, Ben. So this is the next part of the story. And then at some point, she went away. She went back to where she was staying in Jerusalem. Then the next day, soldiers were sent to guard the tomb to stop anyone going in, and then a whole day passed. Then on the Sunday morning, we read in that passage that Mary Magdalene, along with some other women, decided to go and visit the place that Jesus was buried. And it says they took special perfumes and spices with them to put inside Jesus' tomb. This tells us that they've now fully accepted the fact that Jesus was dead. The purpose of those spices and perfumes was to place near a body to show their last respects, to leave a nice smelling fragrance there, which would stay for a long time. So it shows them that they've now accepted the fact in their minds that that's it, Jesus is dead. And that was that. So they go to pay their last respects to Jesus' body, which lay in the tomb. But as they were walking along, they started to think, how are we going to move that great big stone that is in front of the entrance to Jesus' tomb? It seems like they hadn't thought of that before they set out, and they realize as they're going, what are we going to do? Who are we going to get? Who are we going to ask to move that stone? How are we going to get inside to leave our perfumes and spices? But when they got closer, they saw something that shocked them. The great big stone that covered Jesus' tomb had already been rolled away, and the soldiers were gone too. And when they went inside, to their horror, they saw that Jesus' body was gone. Only the white cloths were still there, folded neatly where Jesus had been, the cloths that he had been wrapped in. That was a strange thing too. If someone had stolen Jesus' body, why would they bother to carefully fold those cloths and leave them there? They wouldn't do that. Strange, confusing. But that was their immediate thought. They thought someone must have stolen the body. But we read there that as they were thinking these things, an angel appeared to them. And the angel said these wonderful words, "Why are you looking for Jesus here? He is not here. He has risen." Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Very good. Well done. Well done. So the women, after hearing this, they obviously were happy but confused. So they ran back down to the town to find the disciples, Jesus' followers, and tell them what had happened. And when they told the disciples what happened, the disciples didn't believe them. It said there that it seemed to them like nonsense. So the women said, "Come and see for yourselves." So Peter and another disciple ran to the tomb to see what had happened, to check to see if what these women had said was true. Was Jesus' body really gone? Was the tomb empty? And Mary went back to the tomb with them. And we read there that when the disciples got there, they saw indeed that Jesus' body was really gone. The angel had gone too. They didn't see the angel. And so we just read that they went away wondering what had happened. And now John is going to come and help us read the next part of the story from John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 11 to 20.
Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and she wept, and she bent over to look into the tomb, and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "Then they have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for the fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord.
Thank you, John. So this is the next part of the story. The disciples had gone away after visiting the tomb, and at that point, Mary Magdalene stayed outside the tomb crying. But just then, we read that she heard the voice of someone behind her, and the voice said to her, "Why are you crying?" Why was Mary crying? The angel had told her that Jesus was risen. But it seems that at this point, Mary couldn't quite believe it. She was really sad but confused too. Had Jesus really risen again? Had someone stolen the body? Was he alive? Where was he? If someone had stolen the body, where was the body? "Who is it you're looking for?" the person said. And Mary at this point still doesn't turn around to face the person who is speaking to her, but replies, "Sir, if you have taken Jesus' body away, tell me where you have put him." And then at that moment, this person says her name, Mary. And at that point, Mary suddenly recognizes the voice. She turns around to face him and saw that it was Jesus. He really was alive. Christ is risen. Can you imagine now Mary's feelings, her emotions? Imagine the joy as she realizes Jesus is really alive. She was probably now crying tears of joy. And Jesus says to her, "Go to my friends and tell them." It's interesting that Mary was the first person to see Jesus alive and had the privilege of being the first person to go and pass on that good news to others too. So Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. And this time the message wasn't simply that the tomb was empty. Now Mary could say, "I have seen the Lord. He really is alive." Now, maybe the disciples wanted to believe her, but still it seemed too good to be true. And it's important to notice that, how the disciples didn't believe the news easily. Some people who don't believe this message tried to say that maybe someone started a rumor that Jesus was alive, and because the disciples really wanted that to be true, they wanted to believe it, and so they passed it on to, and so the rumor spread. But actually, when we read the stories, the eyewitness accounts, the complete opposite is true. They're really slow to believe. They weren't simply gullible folk who would easily believe a tale. They wanted evidence. And so the disciples found it hard to believe. And it is something hard to believe for us even today. Because normally, death is irreversible. That was the norm then, and it's the norm in our experience too. So it must have been really difficult for Mary as well. She knew it was true. She had seen the Lord himself risen. But the disciples didn't believe her. She couldn't convince them. You can imagine maybe her frustration in that situation. But that evening we read that when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them. And his first words to them were, "Peace be with you." He didn't come and tell them off, "Why haven't you believed?" He didn't come and tell them off, "Why did you abandon me?" But he came and spoke words of peace to them, of kindness. And he showed them his hands and his side. They still, it says, couldn't quite believe it. They were so filled with joy that they didn't believe their own eyes. They thought, maybe this is a ghost. So Jesus shows them his hand and his sides, and they were overjoyed. Jesus, in fact, at that moment does something interesting. He says, "Do you have anything to eat?" And he eats something in front of them. The point of that wasn't because he was hungry, but he was showing them in different ways that he was real. He wasn't a hallucination. He wasn't a ghost. He was real flesh and bones. And so Jesus appeared to the disciples, not just on that occasion. We read of many occasions in the gospel over the next 40 days where Jesus appears to the disciples and other people too. In one place it says he appeared to over 500 people at one time. If they had just sort of caught a glimpse of Jesus in the distance or just saw him once, then maybe they could think, well, did we really see that? But again and again, over 40 days, Jesus was with them, teaching them, eating with them, spending time with them. And he gave them a mission. He told them to go into all the world and tell other people this good news. And the disciples did just that. They told others that Jesus rose from the dead. One strong evidence that Jesus really rose from the dead is the disciples' life and their message. Because the disciples suffered greatly for their message that Jesus was alive, that he had risen. Some of them were killed for that message. People don't do that for a lie, do they? One crazy person might, but not 12 people. But they accepted suffering and even death for the truth of the message. They were really sure. You wouldn't do that unless you were really sure it was true. So there's strong evidence that the disciples really believed they had seen the Lord Jesus risen again. So they told others, and those people told other people, and those other people told others too, and that's been going on for nearly 2,000 years. All over the world, that message has been spreading. And now, this morning, here in Rudgwick Village, we are now telling each other that message. It all started with Mary Magdalene. She was the first one. And now this morning, we share that message and tell each other that you can either eat them now or save them for later. It's up to you. These are only small Easter eggs. I'm sure you've had some larger Easter eggs. I wonder who's had the biggest Easter egg this morning. Hopefully Lenny. So Easter is a little bit like Christmas in that the same thing happens with Easter as happens with Christmas. That although Christmas was originally about, and still is all about, Jesus' birth, lots of other things have come into the celebration, into the traditions that we follow. Things like Santa and reindeers and Christmas trees and decorations and presents and all sorts of things. And the snowman on TV and all sorts of traditions that come into Christmas. Sometimes they can distract from what Christmas is originally about. And the same thing happens with Easter a bit, that although Easter is all about Jesus' death and resurrection, other things sometimes crowd in. And we've added lots of other things to Easter, like Easter eggs and Easter bunnies and those little yellow chicks that we've got on the windowsills and all sorts of things, and small lambs and cute things like that, flowers. And they're all lovely things, but there is a danger that they can distract from what Easter is actually all about, the central message of Easter. But I think we can use Easter eggs to be a helpful reminder of what Easter is about. Some people use an Easter egg to remind us of the stone that was in front of Jesus' tomb that was rolled away. That's one thing. I think actually an empty egg is an even better reminder of Easter. Because what happens after the bird is hatched from the eggshell? What happens to the eggshell afterwards? It's left behind, isn't it? Empty. And I don't know whether perhaps you've seen the moment, either in real life or maybe on a documentary, when that small little bird inside manages to break through the shell and leaves that eggshell behind as it emerges. And so eggs, I think, especially empty eggs, eggshells, can remind us of the empty tomb. That morning, when Jesus rose, when he left the tomb, new life began there. New eternal life.